Miss Vivian has put into our singing. Don't you love it? Praise the Lord. And I also want to recognize the ladies that have prepared this feast for you tonight. I think it got out of hand, sir, frankly. All right. Some people won't eat this good on Christmas Day. But I want to acknowledge my wife, Bonnie. Would you please stand? And I want to acknowledge Mary back in the back. She probably won't stand, but I'm going to ask her anyway. They have been cooking up a storm. Whatever. Whatever. But this food just doesn't show up automatically. You know, I know some of y'all think it does, but it ain't takeout, I can guarantee you that. All right. Well, I'm going to end, I don't think I'm going to end this course that I'm teaching on, but tonight I'm going to teach on something that you are probably never going to hear at a church. Now, I'm not going way out there, but I'm going to go into an area that many of you have never been taught on. So I want to take my time. Hopefully, we'll finish it in about 20 minutes. I don't think so. But here's the point I want to get across to you. Church, you have got to understand what happens when you pray in the Spirit. Now, it's not just for you. But I have heard people try to explain the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and you sound like you are some car salesman. I wouldn't buy a car from you. And people ask you questions about it, and you go off with some scripture. You don't answer their questions. Folks, that's not going to get it in last days. You've got to know what you're doing when you explain the baptism. It is the most, I believe, one of the most powerful things God has given the church. And yet the church knows very little about it. It seems like when you hear about it, you go, oh, yeah, that thing. Man, Jesus said these words, they shall speak with tongues. Shall in the Greek is one of the strongest words in the Greek New Testament that it means it will come to pass. But we got a lot of fuss and carrying on about when I don't think is for today. Well, so at any rate, tonight I'm going to talk on where are those tongues generated? Why do we pray in tongues? I had one guy ask me this past week. He says, Pastor, I think them tongues are coming from my brain. I said, come to my meeting on Thursday night. I'm going to explain all that to you. He's not here, but he can get the tape. Now remember this. The Holy Spirit speaks to us to the same place when he communes with us in our spirits. He doesn't speak to our brains one time and then some other part of our anatomy another time. The same place that he speaks to us is the same place those tongues are generated when you pray in the Spirit. Same place that he speaks to you is the same place those tongues are generated. Now wrap your mind around that. I want you to begin to see that where God speaks to you is the same place when you open up your mouth and you go, Brekro, Kroshakari, Domendo, that's the exact same place that he speaks to you. And that's the exact same place where those tongues are created. Now, what you ought to do, I'm going to give you some homework over the holiday season. But what you ought to do is you ought to start getting quiet before God and just focusing on where those tongues are coming from. And quit allowing your flesh and the devil to convince you that they're coming from your brain. You're not that intelligent to speak that kind of language. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to be so bold. But if we can find out where the tongues are generated, then we can locate the place that the Holy Spirit continuously speaks to us. So here's where we're going to start tonight. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 14. It's an excellent place to start to study how the Spirit generates the language of tongues inside of our spirits. 1 Corinthians 14 says this, for if I, and I always say it like this, if I, Elvin Craig, pray in an unknown tongue, if I pray, now you see where it says if, maybe you will and maybe you won't, if, most of the church don't. In fact, probably 90% of the church don't. Now, I'll hear people say that, well, I pray in tongues. When I first got this message, I won't say where I did it, but well, I'll tell you where I did it. I just went around the church world. And I stopped Christians that claimed to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'd ask him this question. How often do you pray in tongues? And I'd ask him, well, how long do you pray in tongues? And you would be shocked at the answers I got. I got answers, well, I only pray when things are going bad. I pray when I get ready to eat. I pray first thing in the morning for about 5 minutes. I pray whenever I gotta hear from God. I pray. But that was a standard answer across the board. Now, there were a couple that said, well, I pray, you know, half hour, 45 minutes a day. But very few people, I mean very few, I'm talking 95% did not spend a regular time praying in the Spirit. And folks, that's got to change. One of our biggest problems in the church world is that we don't spend time, enough time praying in the Spirit. We're too busy. We've allowed our flesh, we've allowed the world, we've allowed the enemy to occupy our minds with stuff that doesn't make sense. I had a man, and I don't want to give his name, but his father died recently. And I was asking him about, you know, how did it go? And he said, well, man, my father and I were real close. When I hear the word father, my ears perk up. My ears perk up. You're talking spiritual language to me now. You're talking code to me. You got my attention. He said, we would talk 4 or 5 times a day, Pastor. Every day. And the Holy Spirit said to me inside, I wonder if he talks to his heavenly father 4 or 5 times a day. Well, see, the same person is having a problem letting his father go because they were so close. See, if you put your father, your mother, your sister, your brother, your ministry, your church, your pastor, your preacher, whatever it is, where God belongs, when that person's taken out of the way, you're going to have problems. They don't belong there. They don't belong there. Listen to me, church. Your dearest loved ones do not belong there. God belongs there. And you better work on getting them out of there because there's going to be some tough times coming. Because here's why I'm saying that. If you do what if you love them more than you love God, then you'll do what they tell you to do. You can't put them above God. Never. I've heard this before in ministry. My wife comes before ministry. You're wrong. You're wrong. You are wrong. You didn't get this from the Bible. You got this some preacher trying to raise money. You did not get this from the Bible. You did not. You cannot put your spouse or your ministry above God. He is it. He is it. If Dominion Training Center dissolves today, I still got God. If my employer fires me tomorrow, I still got God. If my wife decides to leave me, I still got God. Don't shout me down now. So we need to understand that when you pray in an unknown tongue, it's your spirit that's praying, but listen, but my understanding is unfruitful. My understanding is unfruitful. The part of your understanding that Paul is referring to here is your ability of your physical brain to analyze languages. So when you pray in an unknown tongue, your brain doesn't have a clue what you're saying. I go around some parents. This little child here, when she walked in with her son, he was going, blah, blah, blah. And she goes, really? Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm going, how does she know what he's saying? How does she know? You know why? Because she talks baby talk. She's learned to understand, but for me, my understanding is unfruitful when it comes to that small child. Now, eventually, one day, he'll speak perfect sentences. When you pray in tongues, your understanding or your brain is unable to comprehend or to understand the language that is coming out of your spirit. And those tongues are coming out of your spirit. And we're going to talk about that here in a minute to verify all of that. Now, you may eventually, with your renewed mind, understand the mysteries you have just prayed. How many of you heard when I pray in the Spirit, about every 5 or 10 minutes, I'll say, Father, I believe we've received the mysteries we just prayed. See, I don't know what I'm praying, but I know I'm praying the perfect prayer every single time. See, if I don't know what to pray, I don't run out and go, you know, some people that they find something in their body, or they find something wrong, or they have a crisis, and again, immediately, they go out and grab a verse and start praying it. No. You want to pray the perfect prayer. See, the Holy Spirit in you, he will help you find and figure out that perfect prayer. Many of your prayers have not been answered because you're praying amiss. You're not praying according to the Word of God. So if you'll listen and learn to pray that heavenly prayer, or pray in your heavenly language, you're praying in tongues in the Spirit, you'll always pray the perfect prayer. You don't have to understand what's going on to pray the perfect prayer. All you have to do is be willing and obedient. Amen. In other words, you will not have a translation. When I speak, my brain cannot give me a word-for-word translation. But now eventually, God will give me the revelation. Amen. In my renewed mind. Amen. He'll give me the revelation. The thing is this. If you're not familiar with that place where God speaks to you, you may think it's you. You may think it is your imagination. You may just blow it off as though, oh, I just thought that up on my own. The way God usually gives someone the interpretation when they're praying privately in tongues is by exploding the mysteries and revelations on the inside of their spirit. At that point, it isn't necessary for your brain to understand every syllable or word that he passed through your spirit. So here's what I'm telling you. Going forward, don't be concerned what you're saying. Just pray in tongues. Just know you're praying the perfect prayer. You can't open up your mouth one time and the Holy Ghost goes, nope, I ain't praying the prayer through you today. He'll never say that. Every time you say that first syllable, the moment he gets the indication that you want to pray, trust me, he begins to generate those tongues inside of your spirit. Now, here's what some people ask me. Isn't the Holy Spirit the one who originates the language of tongues? And what is Paul talking about when he prays, my spirit prays? Go back to 1 Corinthians 4:14. If I, Elvin Craig, pray in an unknown tongue, what prays? My spirit prays, not my brain, not my mind, not my flesh. What prays? Your spirit prays. Your spirit prays. Your spirit prays. Your spirit prays. Now, when I begin to pray in the spirit, it is the Holy Spirit on the inside of me. Now, you ought to have a picture of that. We talked about spirit, soul, and body last week, did we not? So we know that man is what? He's a spirit. Hey, preacher, he has a soul, and he lives in a body. Isn't that right? So my spirit man lives on the inside of me. If my spirit man were to step out of my body, he would look just like me. Of course, he'd be a lot more in shape, more handsome, be about 30-some-odd years old, good-looking fella, no gray hair, no blemishes, no glasses. Okay, be the perfect specimen of Elvin Craig, but the only one. Amen? But it is my human spirit that is doing the praying. Now, get this. My human spirit, the spirit on the inside of me, he's doing the praying. That's my spirit man praying. And I'm praying it through my brain. But my spirit man is praying those syllables. But my spirit man didn't originate those syllables. The Holy Ghost inside of me is originating those syllables. He's originating those syllables. So be careful how you talk about people that pray in tongues. Because it ain't them praying in tongues. It's the Holy Ghost on the inside of them making the prayer language. It's not us. It's not us. It's not even our spirit. It is the Holy Spirit. He originates the prayer. He originates the tongues. And then he transfers over to my spirit. Now I'm getting ahead of myself. We are a part of the body of Christ, and Jesus is the head. Wherever his body is present in the earth, the head has authority. Jesus has no authority here in the earth. Jesus has no authority here in the earth. So I wish you quit praying prayers, but Jesus, would you stop that mess? Jesus, how could you let this go on? Jesus, Almighty God, why did you let this happen? Because he doesn't have any authority in the earth. Let this sit there for a second, because I see you squirming in your spiritual, your unreading mind. You're going, the what? Jesus has no authority here in the earth. His authority is in his body. We are the authority. You don't speak, the storms don't stop. Last week they told me that a Siberian cold weather front was on the way. Now I see some of you wrapped up, but I'm going to tell you something. You're supposed to be in the 30s and 40s. Didn't make it. I wonder why. I wonder why. I wonder why, because I started coming against it the day I heard about it. Now I'm working on where I'm going to be in the next 2 days in Dallas. I'm working on that one, because it tells me it's going to be down to 16 degrees. Nah, nah, we ain't going there. Now, my little grandson, he wants snow. So we're going to have to do some compromising here somewhere, all right? I got to figure this thing out. He wants some snow, okay? Grandfather don't want any snow, so we'll figure it out. But at any rate, the authority that Jesus has for it to be exercised in the earth must be exercised to these people in this room or in the body of Christ. So the next time you hear someone says, why is the Lord letting this stuff happen? Turn around, Sam, and say, are you born again? Yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, why aren't you doing something about it? Because the authority is in you. He is the agent of power, and you're the agent of authority. He doesn't have any authority in the earth. He gave his authority to Adam, and he backed off. That's why he couldn't come down here when Adam ate that apple and slap it out of his hand, like most of you thought. How come he didn't slap that apple out of Adam's hand, and we wouldn't have to go through all this? Because he has no authority here in the earth. Now, when Jesus went to the cross, okay, he says, all authority is what? Been given unto me. Now, Adam only had authority where? On the earth. But now Jesus has authority where? In heaven and in the earth. Oh, looky here now. Come on now, somebody. See, we have authority if we use it. We will receive a greater revelation of authority as we pray in the Spirit. Gloria Copeland this week, who sent me that? Mike did. Man, Gloria Copeland had a newsletter? What is that? Word of the day? I'm telling you, it was powerful. You want to know why you don't hear from God? Because you don't spend time praying in tongues. Isn't that basically what she said? You're insensitive to the Spirit of God because you don't pray in tongues enough. I didn't say it. She said it. Isn't that right? You sent it to me. Whatever. None of my messages. Okay, amen, amen. Now, when the Holy Spirit transfers that supernatural language to your human spirit, he also transfers authority. That's where you get your authority. As he transfers that language from himself to you, he also simultaneously transfers authority. This is why you're able to speak things and to a greater or lesser degree than most Christians. Now, I'm not saying that people cannot have authority. If they understand what their authority is, yes, they can speak it. But most people don't understand their authority because it hasn't been revealed to them. Many of you in this room, you don't understand the authority that you have in the realm of the Spirit. You don't realize some of the stuff you're going through, you can stop. So this is why I keep saying every time I think about it, when I barbecue, it don't rain. It don't rain. You can ask anybody my name, it don't rain when I barbecue. They may want it to rain, but it's not going to rain when I'm barbecuing. I don't want it to rain. My pit doesn't work well in the rain. Why? Because I take authority over it. I take authority over it. Now, has it ever rained before when I'm barbecuing? Sure it has, until I got established in it. Now that I'm established in it, I run that. Amen. Now, you may think, well, you're just being bold. No, I'm being humble, frankly. I'm just being humble. See, I'm saying the same thing that Jesus said, all power has been given unto me. Now go and do what I ask you to do. Do what I commanded you to do. Go. And he says, these works and greater works shall you do. Well, what's a greater work? Well, if he stopped the storm, I can sure stop some rain. Now, let me ask you a question. When was the last time you saw a hurricane in Houston, Texas? Because we've been praying that way. I can hear you now. Well, when if one comes through, Pastor Craig? Well, get on my side. Amen. Get off the wrong side. Right. Maybe we can stop these things. Amen. Maybe we can keep them out of Houston, Texas. Actually, I'll keep them out of the whole country. Yeah. And there's many of them formed this year in the Gulf of Mexico, and they dissipated. Dissipated. Now, next time we got to start working on these earthquakes. They're beginning to become an irritation. But church, you got to start walking in this authority. And what the Holy Spirit is telling you is, as you pray in the Spirit, He will reveal the authority that you have. See, your natural mind cannot understand the authority that God has given you. Only your spiritual mind can understand that. And you're going to have to spend time praying in the Spirit, get away from your religious buddies, get away from your religious groups, get away from your religious teams, whatever they are, and you're going to have to spend some time with God and get in line with that buddy, the Holy Ghost, and say, listen, I got to know the truth here. What is the truth? And He will tell you what the truth is. See, the Holy Spirit says to you, I need to teach you something. And I'm searching your heart right now. Now, I know the plan of God, says the Holy Ghost. And I am making intercession for you according to His perfect will for your life. There are many things that I need to pray. The Holy Ghost says this. That I need to pray for you, through you, for your personal life and ministry. So I am supplying the prayer and the prayer language. You supply your spirit, and I'll pass the prayer through it. Now let me ask you a question. How can you fail? You know why you fail? Because you don't pray in tongues. Like I told you, you're not going to hear this message at most churches. See, it ought to be hard to fail, ladies and gentlemen, when you have a prayer partner. See, I know what churches, they have prayer partners. You got a prayer partner above any prayer partner. You got a prayer partner that knows how to pray. You got a prayer partner that came from the very throne of grace and mercy. In fact, He is the Spirit of grace. He knows how to minister grace. He's your prayer partner. He's on the inside waiting for you to open up your mouth and utter those tongues so He can say, now I got something to work with. Give Him something to work with. Quit tying His hands. Quit tying His hands about, God, I don't understand why all this stuff is happening. God, I don't understand why I'm so sad. God, I don't understand why God is problem. God, I just don't get it. Begin to let the Spirit of God flow that language to you for a while, and then you'll have understanding. I promise you. He will pray the perfect prayer through your spirit and will continue to do so as long as you stay in there and keep praying in those other tongues. Additionally, it's your human spirit doing the praying. That means a transfer of power also takes place from the Holy Spirit to your spirit. Now we got authority. Now we got power being transferred. Woohoo! How can I lose? I got authority and power flowing through me right now. I want some more authority and power flowing through me real quick. Get some more of that. Authority and power flowing through me. I'm not helpless. I know what to do. I just got to spend time, allow Him to pray the perfect plan for my life. Why? Because when I pray in tongues, authority and power has to come. That's what He said. Somewhere in your human spirit, the Holy Spirit literally brings those tongues into existence, creating each syllable and each word of that supernatural language. And if you'll find out where that process takes place, you'll then know what part of your inner man to monitor when you want to know if God has anything to say to you. Now, how many here got some questions for God? I got a lot of questions for God. So what do I do? Well, since I know He generates the tongues, and I know He's going to supply me with authority and supply me with power, well, I'm going to spend about an hour or two praying in them other tongues, and I'm going to listen to that place to see what He's saying to me. If I need to ask for forgiveness, or I need to repent about something, if I need to go do something, I want to know what He wants me to do. I want to know what He wants me to do. Not what I want to do, what He wants me to do. Remember, I said several weeks ago, I said the Holy Spirit has all the power within him to release it, that anointing. He can release that anointing on the inside of you anytime he wants to. You know why he doesn't want to? You know why he can't? Because you're not being obedient. When you line up with God's will and you become obedient, he will release in you everything that you need, that a power and an authority will follow. But now you can't pray in tongues, and he tells you, now go out to Walmart and lay hands on the sick, and you go, well, it's too cold out there. I'm a little afraid to go do that, Jesus. I really don't think it'll work, Jesus. Well, you're not going to have much power flowing out of you. See, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above and beyond all that we could ever ask or think. And most of you stop right there. That verse doesn't stop there. It says this, according to the power that works within you. I wonder who's regulating the power. Do you think God's up there going, now, they didn't got too much power, so turn it down a little bit now. No. You know, Cheryl's prophesying the other day, so take some of it back now. She didn't prophesy. Turn it down a little bit. No. You regulate the power. You're regulating the power. You regulate that power on the inside of you. And in these last days, folks, we need to see much of this power flowing in the church. Amen? Now, many of you have heard that we're going to be teaching this class on the walk of the Spirit, walk of power. Well, right now, I am really teaching you chapter 8. Frankly, I've been teaching chapter 8 for the past 2 or 3 weeks. Okay? So when we get to this chapter in that immersion rally, and the reason why we call it immersion rally, we want you to come and be immersed in the Word for about 16 hours. And then you'll never be the same. You'll be changed. Things will start changing in your life. Why? Because the dots will start being connected. There are times when you need... Now, what some churches do is they call it an encounter. Well, this is, you can call this an encounter. But you're going to be immersed in the Word. We're not going to have plays and skits. We may sing some songs. But most importantly, we're going to dive into that book, and we're going to pick that thing apart. And you're going to know who you are and the power that resides on the inside of you. So years ago, when I was reading Dave Robertson's book, he said something interesting that took place in his life to help him find the part of his human spirit where God communicates with. He had been in the ministry a couple of years by then and had been spending much time locking himself in a closet and praying in tongues for. And when we say closet, folks, he didn't go to a physical closet. He just separated himself and prayed, okay? I said, Pastor, is it okay if I pray in my bedroom? My closet is just too small. It ain't about going to a closet. It's about going someplace privately, setting yourself apart, you know? This could be a closet, amen? This could be a closet. Praise the Lord. Over that period of time, he had learned how to shut down his senses or his natural mind, unrenewed mind, long enough to learn how to listen to the Holy Spirit. One particular morning, he was praying and edifying himself in other tongues. And he goes on to explain. Suddenly, it seemed like a kind of an invisible dome settled over him. And all of a sudden, he was in the holiest of holies. Everything got very quiet as he slid over into the realm of the Spirit. Now, see, God's not a respecter of persons. If God do it for this man, he'll do it for you. But what this man did was he spent time praying in tongues enough, and guess what he did? He died. He died. A certain part of him died. If you want God to come into the room, some parts of you have got to die. Now, when I say die, I ain't talking about going out and committing suicide. I'm talking about dying in your unrenewed mind. Things have got to fall off. There are certain doctrines. There are certain religious ideas. There are certain things that must die. They got to die. The church has got to start dying. So God will do the same thing for you. God was about to teach you something profound, truths about distinguishing his voice. Let's get into it. In the spirit, he saw the physical anatomy of a man. Now, remember I told you about that the natural man and the spiritual man, and then you have the mind of the spirit that encases the same thing. Well, that's how he sees it. But he saw the physical anatomy of man, and then he saw what appeared to be a glow on the inside of this man's body. He understood the glow to be the outline of the hidden man of the heart, which was encased by the outer man, wall to wall, hands to hands, etc. We talked about that last week. In that moment of revelation, he learned something he hadn't understood before about the spirit man. He went on to say that you would see this inner man. He had eyes and hands, nose, ears, etc. We talked about that last week, did we not? Okay. What he realized was that his spirit man looked exactly like his physical man. I just said that my spiritual man looks just like my physical man. Okay. He went on further to explain the vision. He saw the mind, which, like I said, it covered his entire body. Okay, wall to wall. Okay. If you hurt a part of your body, I promise you, the mind portion of that toe that you hurt, I promise you, when you walk around, you'll make certain it don't touch nothing. Now, it's connected to your brain, but I'm telling you, you have these sensory, what do they call those things? You can feel pain. Well, that's connected to your mind. Or you could say it like this, it's also associated with your brain. So the thing is, it reminds you, hey, you got a broken toe. Watch where you go. All right, let me go on. Then he saw this. The Holy Spirit, now remember, he's now having an open vision. He's now seeing all this. God is showing him all this. He saw the Holy Spirit literally creating tongues within the mind, which was bathed in a heavenly glow. The moment the Holy Spirit created the tongues, they would come forth to his mind and then out of the mind's mouth. It bypassed his natural brain. It bypassed his natural body. It bypassed his natural body. Now, when you get to heaven, you're not going to have to worry about your body anymore because God's going to give you a brand new one. Okay? But listen, this is why I pray in tongues a lot, why I tell people to pray in tongues a lot. Listen, for me to receive revelation knowledge, for me to receive what God is trying to get across to me, I cannot have my unrenewed mind in the way. My unrenewed mind will listen to the devil. And I have seen so many people teach so many kooky things that I'm going, that is not the gospel. That's not the gospel. The thing is, you have to spend time praying in the spirit. Now, when I'm sitting in another man's message and I'm listening to this man preach, the Holy Spirit is literally telling me, untrue, good, good, good. No, that's not true. Good, 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 good. And that's what I'm going through while I'm sitting there. See, I am inoculated against deception. You can't deceive me. I mean, he can shout, he can scream, he can have 55, 6,000, 10,000 people yelling. And there's going to be one little black man sitting down going, what is wrong with y'all? What are y'all excited about? And you're going, man, this is a good word. Really? Seriously? I've been in service like that before, and I've had people, especially, excuse me, my African-American friend, black churches. And man, they're going, uh-huh, preach, pastor, preach. And I'm going, he ain't preaching. He ain't preaching. And when is he going to be done? Because I'm ready to go. Because he ain't saying nothing. The only thing he said when he read his text, I went, amen, let's get it. And he went all left and missed the whole thing. I'm going, where did you get that? Well, his unrenewed mind gave him that. His unrenewed mind gave him that. Now, all of his church is believing that. And the thing is this, God will hold him responsible for that. See, James says, be not many teachers. Because you will get a you will be held accountable for that. See, we're going to be rewarded for teaching, but that stuff we taught that was wrong. Whoa! Now he's not going to come in and go, I told you. No, he's going to say, now listen, you could have had this kind of reward, but because you taught that stuff, this is what you get. You're going to go up and thinking, man, I'm going to be sitting next to one of the apostles. I know God got up. I can just see it now. And you're going to find your seat in the very back of the room. Well, where do you get that? Well, when you enter a room, don't assume that you sit you up front. Go sit in the back and let them bring you up front. See, that's how I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven going, now, God, if as long as I'm here, I'm good. If I got to sit in the back of the room, I'm good. Now, you tell me where to sit. Because you know what? I don't know. I'm not going to assume that I got it all right. But I'm believing God I don't have it all wrong as well. Okay, let me get on with this. No, I finished up. Many times people would say things like this out of John 7:38, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And when they would try to explain where that river was flowing from, they'd pat their belly area saying, that's where I heard God. But God doesn't talk to your belly, folks. God doesn't talk to your belly. Now, the thing is, the reason why you think it's coming from your belly is because it's coming from the deep, most inner part of your being. It's coming from your spirit man. He's recessed on the inside of you. And he's in there, and he's listening, and he's waiting for you to yield to God. He will never agree with your sin. He will never agree with wrong doctrine. He doesn't understand. He doesn't want to. He will not even listen to it. That's why you are inoculated against deception if you learn to listen to your spirit. You cannot be deceived. Now, the voice of the Holy Spirit, it does come way down, deep, deep on the inside of you. But the reason why it sounds that way is, like I said, it's because it's encased on the inside of you. So, here's what I want you to do over the holidays, okay? And we're going to do it right now. I want you to pray in tongues as hard as you can. When I say pray hard, I ain't saying you got to shout, but I don't want you to whisper either. I want you to pray in tongues. I mean, I want you to get after it. And we're going to pray in tongues for about a minute. And I'm going to tell you to do this. When I tell you to stop, I want you to stop. Because when I tell you to stop, I want you to listen to the inside of you. And what you're going to hear, you're going to hear those tongues continuously going on inside of you. What is that? That's the voice of your spirit talking. That's where he's talking from. Now, what you ought to do is this, after you practice this, we do this right now, you ought to go home over the holidays, and you ought to spend time praying 5-10 minutes in tongues, and stop and listen. And ask the Holy Spirit, I want to hear that place. And what will happen is, because the moment that you have the inclination you want to pray in tongues, like right now we're talking about it, he's creating tongues right now. They're already being created. It's going on right now. I can hear him in my heart right now. I can hear him. I can start speaking them. That's why people say, how can you speak in tongues so easily? Because the moment I think about praying in tongues, he's in there generating the tongues. And I'm just repeating what I hear. I'm not making this stuff up. Now, the thing is, it seems so automatic. It does. But here in a minute, when I tell you to stop, I want you to stop. And those tongues are going to continue to flow. And that is the voice of your spirit. Are you ready? Let's go. Brekro, shandele mama mama. Kiste kreto mobrasata. Kekro kora karada. Mama ma, nene, 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 kora kobra. Brekro na kre, bekro na kre, bekro na kre. Lilo ke lokara. Bileko rueno, rono reno, rono ra, rora ra, kre kre kre. Yelelo, la ra ra, ra ra ra, kre sho, kro kro kro, kre kre. No, 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 no. Shiko ra na ra ra. Shilekele mama mama. Shino mama mana mena. Kenana monana re no 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 re no re. Come on. Pray. Keko rarata. Shendo le koraka. Biko bito re de loco re crosara ra. Shelela la la la. Mema me ma mama mo mo me ma. Cristo no. Cristo no. Cristo no. Cristo no ro crosaraka. Kiste lito bre. Kelo lelo brelo ka braza brala bara brescio rota ra kilaka 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 kileke kilele pray 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 kelo lelo lelo krasharaka shelelo la 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 baha kenelo no no mona penamama stop. What are you hearing? You're hearing the voice of your spirit. You're hearing tongues. That's where the voice of God is. The day I realize that I could hear that, I begin to practice that. I begin to practice it. And then he expanded it to where I begin to pray in tongues and listen to where those tongues were being generated as I was praying in tongues. You know what eventually happened? It began to shut my mind down. I took my mind, my unrenewed mind, out of the loop. And I began to allow the mind of the Spirit and the mind of the Holy Ghost would begin to commune with me like that. I can wake up sometime in the morning and I can just sit there and I can hear him saying something. And oftentimes I don't know what he's saying, but I know he's saying something. If he wants me to know, he'll tell me. Oftentimes he's just building something up on the inside. So here's what I want you to do over the holiday season. While we're gone these next 2 weeks, make it a point every day to spend time praying in the Spirit and just stop and listen. If you didn't hear those tongues, your mind is too active. Quiet it down. Pray a little longer. Sometimes you got to quiet your mind down. Sometimes your mind is just too busy. It wants to hear like the baby crying in the background. See, that stuff doesn't bother me anymore. I've heard pastors say, man, y'all need to shut them babies up because I'm trying to preach. Pastor, Jesus said, suffer not the little kids to come unto me. I guarantee you they were hollering, screaming. They were snotting, slobbering. That stuff was coming out of their nose and everything else. But he said, suffer them not to come unto me. You know, he didn't care. But you know why they distract you? Because your unrenewed mind is just so active. You haven't quieted down yet. And your mind picks up on every noise in the room. Learn how to shut that stuff down. Learn to know this is my world. You're not going to invade my. This is my. I live here. This is my space. You're not going to come in here and tell me what to do. I tell you what to do. I'm talking to your unrenewed mind now. I'm not saying it to you. I'm saying it to your unrenewed mind. Shut it down. Because you'll learn. You've got more control of it than you thought. And like I said, you're not going to hear this kind of message in most churches. We just transcend some kind of way. And the reason we do is because we spend time praying in the Spirit. What you hear us doing every day, every Thursday at 6 p.m., it's a habit of ours. I pray that more of you would come and be involved in it. Several things would happen. You begin to realize you can pray an hour in tongues. Second thing that happened is you begin to realize that, hey, you know what? It's paying off. If God can get you to pray 1 hour a day in tongues, man, 1 hour a day in tongues, he can change things in your life. I'm telling you. Well, how do you know? Because he changed mine. And I was a messed up somebody. Full of religion. Now, and when I say religion, I didn't have a connection with God. My connection with John Osteen. And when John Osteen died, I went, uh-oh. Now, I'm not saying he didn't or he did get his healing, Jesus, but he sure left before he wanted to. So now, what am I going to do? He said, that's your problem. See, that goes back to having somebody between God and yourself. That's what I did wrong. Now, I love John Osteen. I have great respect for the man. We always. But I can tell you this. He'll never be between me and God, and neither will any other man. Amen. My wife over here, about twice a year, I look into her big old brown eyes, and I tell her, I love him more than I will ever love you. And I tell her, I hope you love him more than you will ever love me. Because if you would do that, you'll never be divorced. Why? Because you won't become selfish anymore. You'll die. Amen. I said, you'll die. Amen. Oh, you may say some little words back and forth every now and then. The devil will get it, sneak in there and create some ruckus. But the bottom line is, God will get you by the nape of the neck and say, come over here. And you go, yes, sir. What was that? He goes, I know what it was. We don't walk that way in the kingdom. But the thing is this, he don't kick you out of the kingdom. He just corrects you. And the thing is this. He says this in Hebrews. He says, whom he loves, he chastens. And if any son doesn't accept the chastening, he calls him he calls him a fatherless child. And you fill in the blank. And the Bible uses the blank. It used the B word. Okay? This crowd may not be ready to carry it. I said the other word one time. I went, Pastor, I can't believe you said that. Hey, not beyond me. I'm not here to please you. I'm here to please him. See, I can deal with you on the earth. Because when we get to heaven, it's going to be a whole lot. It's going to be different. You're going to come and say, Pastor, I never knew. I know you didn't. That's why you thought the way you thought. Okay? See, I can deal with you here on the earth, but I can't deal with him in heaven. Uh-uh. I'm not going to have that. I'm going to get it right. Amen? Amen? Thank you for coming out tonight. We will see you in 2 weeks on the 29th.